Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That I might know you better. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. That I might know the hope to which you have called me. Let nothing shake me from that hope, O God. Because the one who spoke that hope never changes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll go back to Exodus. We are in Exodus 20. We are going to look at the second part of what we looked last week. As you pastor to the church, I would advise you to get NKJV. When you can get some money, a KJV or an NKJV. A good translation, a translation that is more original to KJV. Okay? I would say that read NIV, Good News, and all is okay. But when it comes to studying, they have changed a lot of words, a lot of meaning has been changed. And you will see that today's study, you will see NIV goes completely wonky in what we're going to look at today. Okay? So, wherever you probably see sin in your Bible would mean iniquity in the original translation. Okay? I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 4, what we were doing last week. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You saw that? You will see that in NIV they will use the term sin. I want to note this. There are three words scripture uses. One is sin, the other is transgression, the other is iniquity. We had done it sometime last year, but I wanted to get it clear because you see, Lord is facing problems. And when we face that problem, we go and confess to God and we seek forgiveness for our sins and we get forgiveness for our sins and we go back after some time and do the same thing all over again. And we wonder what's the problem. The problem is not with sin. The problem is with iniquity. Okay? And you need to realize there is an iniquity which you or I can generate in myself as a practice of sin. There is an iniquity that is passed on through the generational pipe. Okay, generational pipe is something through which both blessings and curses can come. And sometimes there is a generational iniquity that is passed on. So you might be wondering, why is my little Jethro in tantrums like this? Why is it throwing tantrums like this? Or you might be wondering, I don't want to be angry like this. But you can't help it. And you look back, you will see that your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather all had short temper. And it's passing on. Okay? And it's not just temper alone. Almost everything you can call as sin can become iniquity and can be passed on. But let's look at sin. In the Hebrew, in the Greek Bible, sin, the term for sin, I told earlier, is amartia. Amartia means to miss the mark. Okay? So when do you sin? Whenever you are not like Jesus Christ, you have sinned. Okay? That's sin. Because the standard God has set is Jesus. The standard God has set is Jesus. So we actually sin when we miss the mark. That is sin. Transgression is to break or violate a law or an oath. Okay? Transgression is to break or violate a law or an oath. While iniquity is perversity. It's more than perversity also. It is an attitude of rebelliousness. Okay? Iniquity is much deeper within. need to realize. And if you know the book of Isaiah, you know he was pierced okay, and our transgression. Okay? And you need to realize, if you look at your songbook, a song sheet, and look at the words over there, what does it say? If I regard iniquity in my heart. Okay. It's not so easy as you think. Sin is much more easier to tackle. You are very conscious about sin. You sin, immediately you are conscious. But you do not realize that it is iniquity that empowers sin. When iniquity is there within, iniquity, after some time iniquity becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And when it crosses a point, demons can inhabit that stronghold. And we need to watch out for this. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish demonic strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Are you able to see that? We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And you need to realize that's iniquity. Iniquity is the one that is the knowledge that is there at the back of your mind which keep on justifying sin. It gives what they call the legal cover to sin. And the usual word is that it will start telling God in the sense, it's your circumstances. There's no problem, you can do it. Okay, everybody is doing it. Okay, iniquity will make all kinds of arguments. But every one of its arguments is, it is raising itself above the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Okay. And the only way you will overcome iniquity is by pulling down every one of those thoughts and bringing it to the captivity of Christ Jesus. Do not ever elevate your understanding or my understanding above the Word of God. Don't ever elevate your understanding of a situation or a problem above the Word of God. What the Word of God says is the truth. What your understanding says is iniquity operating. And the struggle that people face is accepting this fact that there is iniquity within. There is iniquity within. And this iniquity will keep on pushing us to sin. And when we sin, we are very conscious. And we go and cry to God, God forgive me, God forgive me. But iniquity is there, iniquity hasn't been tackled at all, it's still there. So it's just a point of time before the same thing occurs. 3-4 times now iniquity starts giving you a lot of... Remember David. We will look at David's problem. David's problem was not David's problem alone. It was the problem of generational iniquity also. Okay, look at that thing. Third, fourth generations. Look at Exodus 20. He said, visiting the iniquity of your father upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Three, four. Up to fourth generations, he said. Meaning, if my grandfather, or great-grandfather, or great-great-grandfather, or great-great-grandfather on any side, was an idol worshipper. It passed down. That's what scripture says, you need to believe that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is true. On paper, it's absolutely true. But it becomes the reality for me only when I break down that stronghold. Because if I continue to function according to the thought patterns of that old, the iniquity is empowered in my life. And people are struggling with iniquity. And God has said there, if you create an image, if you create an image, okay, when you create an image of anything in heaven, earth, or below, he says, if you replace the Word of God or the living God with anything else, then the iniquity will come and the iniquity will be passed on. And you need to realize each one of us sitting here can also pass on iniquity to our children. It is very, very careful that when we advise children, those of us who have children, when we advise children, when we deal with children, we need to be very, very clear to see that our counsel is godly. Our counsel is not picked from the wisdom of philosophers from the secular world. Much of what child psychologists do today, they pick it from the big names. No? The big one, the first one was Freud, and the second one was Carl Jung. And these were the ones who were basically the fathers of psychology. But what the secular world doesn't know is that each one of them had a personal demon from whom they heard. Carl Jung talks about in his memoirs about having a personal demon who advised him. Okay. Now they will not talk about it because they will not believe in demons. But then their books are out and all of them study that in the universities. Then it comes across that beautiful reports in newspapers. We look at it and say, it's a good way to deal with my children. And because we do it, you know what? We have exalted sometimes a doctrine of the demons above that of the Word of God. Okay? And then we run into trouble. We don't run into trouble because you see, God doesn't change His Word. God cannot change His Word. How can God change His Word? His yes is yes, His no is no. He's spoken and that is it. And He says, I have exalted my Word above the heavens. And therefore we need to be careful to that. Whatever we may be in, whatever situation we may be going through, hear it. Lord, I'm not going to lift my understanding, my ideas above Your Word. What does Your Word say? Actually, I was online or chatting and calling up the men of God in Karnataka, the ones whom I know, and they're going through a tough time. They're going through a tough time, intimidation and attacks and all that. Okay. And what I told them is that they keep calling me because they said, you know what it is to have worked in a place where persecution was really bad at one point of time. And what is that you have to tell us? I said, what I have to tell you is something. I said that till today, I haven't heard from a single preacher rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Because that's exactly what God's Word says in Matthew chapter 5. When you are persecuted because of the Word, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If you don't do that, and if you feel that I need to do all the other things, which are okay, I'm not saying they are in it per se wrong, but if you don't do what God has actually told you to do, you have raised an idea about the Word of God. And I said, the book about which deals with persecution is the book of Acts. I said, look at the scripture. John and Peter were whipped. It said they went rejoicing to be counted to share in the sufferings of Christ Jesus. And Paul and Silas were whipped and put in the storm. They were singing and praying at midnight in the prison. I said, you see that? They went through real tough persecution. But you know what? They are not lifting an idea about the Word of God. Are you getting it? Okay? If you lift an idea about the Word of God and keep on practicing it, it will become a power in itself. It will start becoming iniquity. Okay? Then that iniquity will start feeding into your sin. Then even though you want to break away from this sin, you see you are not able to. If you are struggling in any area, see if there is a pattern. See if there is a pattern, it is repeatable. You are failing over and over and over and over in the failure. Is there a pattern? Then there is an iniquity. I'm talking to you including poverty. It's not God's will that His people should be poor. That His people should lack. It's not God's will. And poverty can come as a part of generational iniquity passed on. And I know personally, I have told that earlier also in last year. A friend of mine, very good, close friend of mine. And I remember many years ago when we were in Assam and we were going to Assam via Delhi, so I visited him. Now we are talking about 1998. But IT hadn't come into India. And that guy was drawing a salary of 35,000 rupees and his wife was working and he did not have money to buy biscuits for his children. And I visited him and I ended up giving him money and I said, what's the problem? He says, James, I do not know. There is never money in the house. I tithe, I do everything. I said, why? I said, I know you so well. We were friends from, we grew up together. He was a believer. He kind of, like in those days, when I came to the Lord, he was a source of strength for me, his whole family, everything. I've seen how his brothers, his mother were all strong, committed believers. I said, but I said, I saw your father struggling with finances, never could. But I also know once you were extremely rich, you had a 40-acre estate in Kerala with a river flowing in, 5 acres, everything. Then you lost it all. He said, I said, go back. When did the loss begin? He said, this is what happened. He said, once there was a temple festival. And the temple people came to my father and said, we need a few plantains to use for decoration. And my father in his great pride said, take 50 from my estate. And he said, the slide began then. Because you know what? You took something that belonged to you, which belonged to your God, and gave it to an idol. And then it started intercepting all the things. And he said, look what? Thank God, I said, it can be broken. Let's break it. We prayed together, we broke it. Now you know what? Every one of them is out of debt, every one of them is prospered. He is in London with his wife, his brother is a senior officer in the airport, his younger brother is in Kuwait, if I married a doctor who is in Kuwait, his youngest brother is in US, all of them. Even his father came out of debt before he died. Because you need to realize you can pass this on. That's what God is talking about. Idolatry will lead to iniquity. Iniquity will keep you in bondage. Idolatry will lead to iniquity. Not talking about sin, it's talking about iniquity. Iniquity is much, much more powerful than sin. And you need to realize sin begins in the Garden of Eden. Transgression begins in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve was given only one law. Do not eat from this tree. Right? They broke, they sinned, and they transgressed. Transgress means to violate, to break. So sin and transgression began in the garden. Iniquity began outside. Turn to Genesis. Can we please switch off the mobiles? Tell them that you are listening to God. Chapter 4, verse 13. Genesis chapter 4, this is Cain. From anger, sin has moved to iniquity, which resulted in murder. And when he is punished, in Genesis 4 verse 13, he says, Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. The original translation in Hebrew is, my iniquity is greater than I can bear. The first time in Hebrew, iniquity is mentioned is 4:13. So iniquity comes through Cain. Sin and transgression comes through Adam and Eve. And you will see iniquity is then passed on. And you will see the next murder taking place down the line. See, if this is a family line, iniquity may appear as something else here and skip two generations and appear as something completely different here. Because you are not talking about one iniquity alone. In that iniquity you might have different problems. Let us say anger, drunkenness, okay? And let's put your whole list. Okay. Now here anger manifests. Here drunkenness manifests. Here anger is not coming. Okay? Here anger or drunkenness is not coming. The fourth one is manifesting here. Abraham lied that Sarah was his sister. You will see Isaac, such a godly guy, also says his wife is his sister. By the time you come to the third generation, Jacob is the confirmed liar. By the time we come to the fourth generation, they are murderers. They move from lying into even more. They put a whole city to the blade. Okay, you will see how it passes on. Okay, I'm telling you, thank God for the cross, because the only way iniquity can be broken is at the cross. Nowhere else iniquity can be broken. It's only in Him. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34, the same thing again. Okay, what we looked at 20, it's repeated once again by God over there. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I hope you have an NIV or a KJV or an NKJV. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Does it say all three? I don't know what NIV says. Okay. By no means clearing the guilty. By no means clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Are you seeing it? You need to realize that so many hurdles that we are facing is connected with iniquity. It's connected with iniquity. It might be somewhere down the line, something which has happened, or something which we have practiced over and over again, and it's like a block over there, and we are not able to get over it. And God sees, if you cry out, Lord, forgive, He forgives. He cries out, and He forgives. David committed adultery, deception, conspired, and murdered. Right? Iniquity is settled and passed on. His son Amnon raped his half sister Tamar. Tamar's brother Absalom kills Amnon. Absalom rebels against his father and sleeps with his father's concubine. Then Absalom is killed. Solomon kills most of his brothers. Then he takes hundreds of wives and concubines. By the time after Solomon comes, it's an absolute mess. In between, somebody will stand up and make a difference. And again, you will see the next one comes, he's even more evil than the other one. Because something has been passed down. Okay, iniquity has been passed down. Basically, when Paul is crying in the book of Romans, the things I don't want to do, I do, he's talking about iniquity. He's not talking about sin. He's talking about iniquity. I don't want to do it, but why am I doing it? Because iniquity has got power. Iniquity is now empowering sin. Iniquity is now empowering sin. Did God forgive David of his sin? Yes, He did. But the iniquity was passed on. The iniquity was passed on. Okay? Now, turn me to Matthew chapter 1. That's where we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now we will read verse 5. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. Okay? Who was David's father? Jesse. And who was Jesse's father? Obed. And who was Obed's father? Boaz. Okay? We have only gone up three generations. In that three generations, you suddenly have a Ruth and a Rahab coming in. Suddenly, when you go back just three generations, you have into that line coming in a Ruth who is a Moabite and Rahab who is a Canaanite. Who through their lines is bringing every form of idolatry and wickedness possible. I'm not saying they were wicked. They weren't wicked. They trusted the living God of Israel by faith. But what they have brought into that line, we will look at it, what they brought into that line. How God detested those races. It's come into David's life. It's something like even before you have begun your walk, you are short-circuited. That's why God says, unless my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Okay, Adam set it off. And in Christ it was broken. Because he took it all upon himself. And I'm telling you, believers are not able to break over iniquity is simply because they are raising ideas about the truth of God's word. The simplest way, we will see, because it's no point talking about all these problems without seeing if whether God talks about a solution. God talks about a solution. But you know, I'm telling you something. Iniquity is something which you'll have to keep dealing all your life. Because God will start showing other areas where there are areas where iniquity is strong. Right now you may be only capable of seeing maybe one area of your life. But you will have to deal with it. And how we deal with it, scripture will show. But the thing is that, humble yourself and accept the word of God that is planted in you. Humble yourself. Humbling in the word of God has got nothing to do with what humility means in the world. Humbling in the word of God means, Lord, even if it costs me, even if it hurts me, I will still believe that your word is truth. And I will not lift my idea above your word. That's the only way you can. And the problem is that most people who are struggling with iniquity are also people who have suffered so much in life because of that iniquity of theirs or forefathers. And because of the sufferings they have gone through, they have already got this entire worldview based on that suffering. Are you getting it? Because of what you have gone through, your worldview is shaped by that. I can go through 10 years of torture, still what the word of God talks about me is what is true, not what I feel. We let the experiences of our life dictate how we look at things. And sometimes the same thing happens with ministers also. We have experiences and then we make those experiences as the norm. I may have an experience with the Spirit of God which may have nothing to do with anybody. I can come here from the pulpit and say, this is what I experienced. And therefore all of you should experience that. It is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. In the same way, people go through so much pain, so much suffering, and that starts shaping their minds. Okay, shaping their minds. See, you can be freed from your iniquity in one day. That still doesn't make you free until you start replacing it with the word of God. And that is what most of you are lazy. Most of you are lazy. You are not replacing your thoughts with the word of God. You and I are caught in a life or death battle. Okay. The only way you and I will win is by replacing it with this. In Ezekiel chapter 14, God talks about iniquity as a stumbling block. That's why I said you need KJV. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Now, some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. Verse 1. Now, who is it talking about? Ezekiel is talking about himself. Now, he's not a false prophet, okay? It's Ezekiel. Because sometimes people mistake it looking at another verse and says it's only if you go to a false prophet. No, this is a real prophet, Ezekiel. And the ones who went to him are not the crooks or criminals. These are the elders of Israel. Outwardly, they are all very look nice, righteous people. They came to him. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Did you get it? Stumble into iniquity. They have put in their hearts an idol. They have approached the prophet of God with an idol in their heart. Remember, Exodus 4, 12 24. Idol will lead to iniquity. So he says, they have come to you with an idol already in their heart. Okay, you cannot see it, but it is there, isn't it? And that's an idol which will make them stumble into iniquity. And let's see. Should I let myself be inquired of them at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, the Lord will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. What it's saying is that if you got an idol, if what is an idol? An idol at basic level is replacing what God wants for you with something which you want for yourself. I will tell you the common thing which people do. You got an interesting thing which you want. You are not very comfortable with that also. Okay? You know it's not right. God doesn't like it. But whenever you do this thing and open it, you get a confirmatory word from God. He is speaking to you according to the idol in your heart. The other way, of course, is when you keep searching for prophets so that you can get a word from them for a confirmation to the idol that is there. What happens when you get that answer? You stumble into iniquity. Most marriages that have broken doesn't talk about a marriage problem where men leave their wives and go with other women or vice versa. I didn't say that. The Lord was speaking to me that this is the girl for you. And every time I opened the Bible, I got a confirmatory word. You hear it constantly you hear it. You're talking about believers. No, God was speaking to me that this is the woman. How can you live like that with this wife of your 8 years? No, but whenever I just sought the Lord's counsel in this, you know what? Every time said, she is your happy haven. Okay? This is any word you will get. The reason is that what is revealed in the Word of God? If you seek something from God of what is already revealed in the Word of God, you will get an affirmation according to the idol in your heart. There are so many things which you don't have to ask because it's all there, black and white. And once it is already there, and you know that's what God actually needs from you, and then you are trying to change His mind, and you keep on seeking, then He will give you an answer according to what. And what happens as a result of it, that's what we are looking at. As a result of it, you stumble into idolatry, into iniquity. And then before you know, that iniquity starts controlling you. By the time you realize it, it goes and goes and goes and goes, and it becomes a power in your life. And all the joy goes. All the everything goes away, and you realize, what did I get into? How did this happen? How could I get fooled? Because you lifted a desire, you lifted an idea over and above what the Word of God says. And you need to realize, it's happening in the church. It's happening in our lives, it's happening in our offices. We need to be clear. God says about this, He says about iniquity increasing in the last days. And He says, if we are not careful, He Himself will allow a delusion to take place. He says that in the book of Thessalonians. Okay. Let's move further. The case of Lot's daughters. You remember Lot's two daughters? When one man, called righteous in the New Testament, lived in the midst of sin, transgression, and iniquity, God rescues him. Everybody knows the Lord's story of Sodom and Gomorrah. He rescues him and his two daughters and bring them out. But what happened up there in the mountain? Two daughters had lived in the midst of sin, transgression, and iniquity. And now that has become their thinking pattern. Their mind, the strongholds have been already been established in their minds. You need to realize that. That's why we need to be very, very, very careful about what is the idea that we put into the minds of our children. Because that will be on what they will base decisions they will take later. And this is the only time you can do it. So what happens? There they are, two of them. And there is this thing. There is, it's not that there aren't men around. There are other places. Read the Genesis account there, in Genesis chapter 20. It's Genesis. Okay. Yeah, Genesis 19. Verse 31.
Which is read your NIV.
And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man on the earth to come in unto us. After the manner of all the earth.
After the manner of all the earth.
Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father.
Now you know what happened? When now they had to make a decision, make a choice, they made a choice according to the culture from which they came out. So that's what is there inside. It's like a software program. Okay. Whatever software you put it into your computer, it will only work on that. Now what has been put into their heads in Sodom and Gomorrah is every kind of sexual immorality is okay. So incest is also okay. They had no qualms about it. God can bring you out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you can destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you can show it as a sign, but you can come out of Sodom and Gomorrah with that iniquity in your head. And when you make your decision, you will still make a decision according to Sodom and Gomorrah. So they said, let's get our father drunk. And you know what? They have two children. So what are the names of those children? Verse 37.
The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Hmm. The same is the father of Moabite unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called him Benami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Moab and Ammon. Okay, now turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7. We will see now what's happening. Verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddesses of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon.
How did it reach here?
It reached here because Solomon went and married the Ammonite and Moabite women. Okay? Now you need to realize what are the gods. See, these things with the iniquity comes these idols. Behind those idols, now the dangerous part, behind those idols are demonic powers. Behind those idols are demonic powers. What is that they both wanted desperately over and above God's will? They wanted children. Okay, they both wanted children. So the entire race of Moab and Ammon is birthed over a desperation through a wicked means of birthing children. So their God also will demand children. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5. You need to realize Moloch Baal, these are all interchangeable names. Okay, they appear in different cultures, different countries, in different names. Here also, some of them have been transplanted under different names. They have also built high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal. Now you see what's happening over here? The babies are being offered as burnt offerings to Baal over here. You will see the price of iniquity. Okay, the demonic powers have taken over. Now Israelites are offering their babies as sacrifice.
Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 35. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did they come to my mind, that they shall do this abomination to cause Judah to sin.
That should have been okay, because we are not saying, okay, we will think that that's an iniquity, that okay, that's passed on. There are the Moabites, there are the Ammonites, they are still around. Only thing that we do not know them by their name. The iniquity is still being passed around.
Turn with me to the book of Amos. You're going to hear something shocking. The book of Amos. You'll come right after Joel.
The book of Amos will come right after Joel.
Hosea.
Joel. Amos.
Amos chapter 1. Verse 13. And I want you to read that carefully. Mark it out, children. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away its punishment. Because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. They ripped open the women with children in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory.
Two things are mentioned over there. You need to realize there are two things mentioned over there. These are Ammonites, and this is a sacrifice being offered to Molech. Or Baal, or whichever god at that point they are serving. Okay, one, they ripped pregnant women, unborn babies, and offered those babies as sacrifice to Molech so that they could enlarge their territory. It's still passed on till 21st century, and there those shrines have been transplanted as abortion clinics. It's not about pro-choice or pro-life. It's about whether you are worshipping Jehovah or Molech. And the government around the world has legalized the worship of Molech. Because the one who wants, and why do people, I'm not talking about those ones who are desperate and afraid and scared, I'm not talking about, but most of them who do it so they can enlarge in their territory. I can have a better life. This is a hindrance. I don't want this baby. Iniquity is passed on. Where did it start? It started with the nephew of the great man of history, Abraham. It started with Lot. Okay? The iniquity has passed on and passed on and passed on and passed on. And today we have shrines of Molech all around the world. All around the world. And he's getting today. In the United States of America alone, 40 million babies have been sacrificed. He never got that many then. We don't realize. It's not a question of whether you are pro-choice or pro-life. It's a question of, are you worshipping Jehovah or are you worshipping Molech? You can see the extent iniquity can go. And suddenly it becomes a worldwide demonic force nipping away the lives of unborn babies. Okay? And we need to realize. Scripture, the power of iniquity is so big if it's not tackled. The power of iniquity can be so big if it's not tackled that even a wonderful, godly man like David can fall so terribly. So terribly. You sin, it finally becomes iniquity. The children of Israel, God's plan for Israel was that I'm going to bring you, to Israel, then I will be your God, you will be my people. They kept on asking, you want a king. Remember, they kept on telling Israel, you want a king. Reason? reason we want to be like the other nations. Now, we need to realize so many things which we ask from God is so that we can be like others. And see what God talks about them in the book of Hosea, just before Amos. Joel, then Hosea, chapter 13. Did they get a king? They got a king. But you know what God says about it? In one of the minor prophets, Hosea chapter 13, verse 11. I gave you a king in my
anger.
I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. I said, okay, that's what you want. Keep on asking, I'll give it to you. I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Why did they want a king? Were they unhappy? No. They basically wanted to be like others. They did not want to be like what God wanted them to be. And we need to be careful. Okay, this pressure the world tries to mold you in. We want to be like this. We want to be like this. We want. And if you keep asking, we get it. When we get it, history will note. Spiritual history will note in God's book. I gave it to him or her in my anger and took it away in my wrath. Young people, unmarried young people, they keep asking God, I want to marry that boy or that girl, though I know he or she doesn't believe in God, and keep on asking, he will give it to you in his anger. And then he will take it away in his wrath. Sometimes mercy works, but you don't take decisions based on will mercy work 10 years down the line. Lord, I want this job. Go and ask God, what is the job that you want me? What is that you want me to do? What is that you have planned for me? Okay. Don't put an idol which will become this stumbling block of iniquity in your life. Things are not seen now. Things cannot be seen now. And sadly enough, you may not even experience it in your life. Your children might reap the harvest. And you might listen, you know, everything worked for me. Wait down, you didn't see 2 generations down. No, I got married and my wife accepted the Lord. It's fine, it's everything okay. You can't make such a hard will, okay. Maybe 2 generations down, all your children walk away from God. Grandchildren, not a single one of them accepts. Because the iniquity was passed down and you did not know how to break it. Amen? We need to be careful. We are not dealing with little temporary things. We are dealing with eternal things. And those things are very, very, very important. And we are now, you know, fused with a whole lot of funny doctrines, and it talks about as if life is all about here. It's not about here. Here is that we extend his kingdom. But life is all about there. If I stop there, it would be very strange, no? There needs to be a solution also. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. Can you read for me with Nehemiah chapter 9? Yeah, verse 2.
And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day, another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord, their God.
Amen. There is no way out of iniquity like sin unless there is a confession. There has to be a confession. Children of Israel are in a big mess over there, and Nehemiah comes into the picture and he gets them all over there and he says, stood there. Let's read but first verse 2. And those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. There were two things that happened. One, there is a separation, and then there is a confession. Separation is not talking about leaving people. Now, separation is from those things which you know, the iniquity, the sins which led you. God says, first separate from that. Okay? Separate from that. Two. Okay? Separate. You need to realize addiction to TV, pornography, all this is iniquity. It's not sin. It's all iniquity. All of them struggle. We don't want to. I mean, I'm the hundreds of young people who have come and cried to me. Drug addiction, nervous breakdown, depression, all is part of iniquity. Something you may not even realize, why am I depressed? It's coming down the line. There was somebody probably in your family line who had the problem with depression. And these are all caused by demonic strongholds. And when you are talking about confession, what did they confess? They stood and confessed their sins
and the iniquities of their fathers.
And the iniquities of their
fathers.
Okay, they confessed. We do not know. So we stand by faith and we say, God, forefathers down the line or up the line. We do not know what they have. Look, it doesn't matter how many generations Christians you were. Somewhere down the line, we were all Hindus. Okay? Somewhere up, every Indian was a Hindu. So you, every Indian means you got an ancestor who was an idol worshipper. If you want to put it idol in the simplest terms, we were all idol worshippers once. Okay? That would also mean it is there, passed on. Freedom is there in Christ Jesus. And God promises that freedom. And this is basically what Nehemiah did. That when you stand up and confess for your ancestors, you are standing in their place. They may be dead and gone, but you are standing in their place and saying, we are sorry for what our forefathers did. What they did to you, they may not have known. That makes no difference. Ignorance is not a virtue in the kingdom of God. So we stand up and we confess the sins of the forefathers. Okay? You need to realize, we do not know. This is not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. Okay? We will do just a simple minor thing today. Just a simple minor prayer today. Because I don't want to do, I'm too weak today to do anything big. Because if you go into a big thing and I start ask you to start breathing and this thing and all, probably we'll all start throwing up here. Okay, when the demons start coming out. We are talking about real things. When demons start coming out, you will start yawning, you will start throwing up. Usually, when these sessions are done, we give them buckets. Okay? Because then you ask the demons to come out in Jesus' name. And you will see them coming out. And you will say, ah, I was a believer, spiritual, I didn't know demons were there. No, they're not in your spirit, they're in your flesh. They're there in your flesh. They've been staying there for a long time. But one thing I have learned is not to do that until you have been taught well. Because if you don't replace that empty space with the word of God, that guy goes and gets seven more and comes back. Okay? Don't think that Christians don't get this thing by demons. Demons love Christians because they can hide there without being detected. In other unbelievers, they know, every Christian knows there are demons in them. But Christians, I can hide there happily. Want to pray? Before we pray, let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. Your freedom and my freedom is based on these verses in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everything who does not continue in all the things
which are written in the book of the law to do them.
We need to realize that is how sin and iniquity comes. If you don't do everything that is written in the book of law, sin and iniquity comes. But thank God for Jesus.
But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Okay. Amen. We still are learning every day what He did for us on the cross. Shall we stand up? I want you to think just for a few minutes maybe. See, this is something which you can do on your own in your house also. Each one is a feast. But if you have a particular problem which you are going through continuously, or it is a pattern in your family, like finances, depression, falling ill over and over and over again, okay, any of this, short temper, obsession with pornography, or addiction, alcohol, smoking, any of these things which you are not able to break away, okay, these are the things which you have to open your mouth and speak out. Okay, open your mouth and speak out and say that I renounce each one. I do not know what it is, okay, but when I say in the name of Jesus, I renounce this curse of whatever it is. You open your mouth and you say to yourself, okay, don't feel about being embarrassed or anything. You're talking about freedom.
Amen.
You're talking about freedom.
Yes,
okay, and you, by faith, you break the iniquity of your forefathers over the rest of your household. Okay, and then suddenly you will see things happening, and they coming to receive the Lord, because this is blocking them. This iniquity is blocking them. Their eyes are closed because of this massive block that's stopping them seeing God. Okay. Pray along with me. Father, I come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There is no other name, O Lord, through which I can come. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I believe He died for me. I believe that He became cursed for me on the cross, O Master. That in Him every curse over my life was broken. Father, now I stand in the gap. And I confess, O God, the iniquities of our forefathers, whatever it is, O Master. Now, if you know anything specific about your forefathers, say maybe your father is to drink or grandfather is to drink, this is the time we can speak it out. Say that I renounce. Depression. I renounce poverty in the name of Jesus. I renounce every form of addiction in the name of Jesus. I renounce every form of ungodly soul ties in the name of Jesus.
Ungodly soul ties in the name of Jesus.
Every ungodly soul tie in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I call back the parts of my soul in the name of Jesus. That has been yoked to unbelievers. I belong to Jesus and Jesus alone.
I belong to Jesus and Jesus.
Poverty, you have no hold over me. Sickness, you have no hold over me. Depression, you have no hold over me. I have been made whole in Christ Jesus. In Jesus I have been made complete. I declare what is written in the book of Galatians. As a seed of Abraham, I receive the promise, the Holy Spirit into my life, and I will walk in the Spirit, and I will walk in power, and I will overcome the flesh every day, and I will fulfill His purpose in my life. I also break the curse over other family members in my life.
I also break the curse over other family members.
Over my spouse,
over my
children,
over my parents,
over all my relatives,
I break the power of blindness over their eyes,
stumbling block of iniquity,
and
I release light into their lives,
light that comes from the gospel.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Help me, O Spirit of God.
Exalt your word
every day of my life,
over and above everything else.
Thank you, Father.
For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Please be seated. Now you know why I was in this week. The enemy knew what was coming this Sunday. He knew what I was preparing on. And he thought I wouldn't make it here. He knows, but he won't believe that. Greater is he that is in us.
Hallelujah.
It's all gone.
Amen.
It's good.
That is good.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you.
Your truth is liberating, O Lord. Your truth is so powerful, God. Father, we have heard, we have believed. Now we go from this place. Help us to go with that truth and walk in that truth. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Father, help us to walk in the Spirit. As your word says in Romans 8, O Lord, put to death the works of the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. And your word says, O God, in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit shall be called the sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As your children go into this new week, may your presence go with each one of us, O God. Each one of us. Father, we need your Spirit more than ever, O God, this week, so that we may walk in the precepts of your law. Because we know, Lord, as David said, if I consider iniquity in my heart, you will not listen to me. And we want you to listen to us, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Who else do we have, O God? If you turn your face away from us, O God, whom can we go, O Father?
Oh, yes, Lord.
But you have said in your word, O God, that our iniquities have separated us from you, Lord. Today we have confessed, O God. Today we have confessed. We have sought your forgiveness. We have sought your deliverance. And we believe, O God, today, as we cry out to you, Lord, in the privacy of our homes, in our closets, we will hear the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit ministering to our spirits, O God. We will hear loud and clear from your Holy Spirit. Each one sitting here will hear from your Holy Spirit. Things they are troubled with, doubts and confusions they have, O God. They will start hearing from you, O God. O Lord, one word from you, O God, is more than a volume from a man, O God.
Amen.
One word, O God.
Lord.
And I'm believing for your people here today, Lord. I'm believing for each one here, God, that they're going to hear from you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we praise you. We worship you, God. And I thank you, Father, for your spirit today, Lord, to enable me to stand here in your presence. Thank you, Father, that your word is true, even in that, God, that when we are weak, then we are strong, O man. Strong in you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. All because of you, O God. All because of you. My sin, my iniquity, my transgression. All you took on the cross. And you released your power, your freedom into my life. Each one of our lives. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Father, we pray to you, we worship you, God. Thank you. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen.